What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums?
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Luke Combs.
I am somebody who has struggled with anxiety a lot. A couple ways or tools, I guess you would say, to maintain my mental health is making myself aware to the things that I know I'm prone to. Information is key for things like that, and knowing what you're dealing with and how they operate. Being aware of the way your mind works in certain situations has been the most important thing for me.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street, it's a Football Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. And producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than, well, it's not hot take hickey, it is the great Connor Green. Four awesome guests for you today coming up 40 minutes from now. From the New York Giants, Wandale Robinson will stop by at the top of the hour. Quinnen Williams from the Jets will swing by. Peter King at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And then in the final hour of this Football Friday Zach Gelb Show extravaganza, Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports will be joining us in our weekly NFL picks battle. And we'll see who will prevail for this week. The big news last night, y'all got the alert. The question just was, did you see it in the moment or did you wake up to it? That was Christian McCaffrey is leaving the Carolina Panthers. He is already with the San Francisco 49ers as he got traded for a 2, a 3, a 4, and a 5. Now, anyone that thought that the Carolina Panthers were going to get one first-round pick, let alone two first-round picks, were an absolute fool and someone that is clearly just wishful thinking for the Carolina Panthers. So any conversation about a running back who is great, but he rarely plays, and this is a guy that the last 2 years has been unfortunately just decimated with injuries, and leading into this year, in the last 2 years, has only played 10 games, was not going to get a first-round pick. And you see the landscape of the NFL. A lot of times now when a team takes a running back in the first round, it does not actually end up working out for the most part. Like, Zeke going to the Cowboys has worked, but they haven't won a Super Bowl. They haven't even been to an NFC title game. We'll see what happens with Travis Etienne with the Jaguars. We'll see what happens with Najee Harris with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you go around this league, like Saquon Barkley, yeah, he's playing great right now, but the Giants haven't had a lot of success with Saquon, and Saquon hasn't been able to stay on the field. So when you look at the position, I'm not undermining the running back position because you need a run game to win in this league. You can find, though, other avenues in the draft and in free agency to get a running back. And look how many great running backs are in this league, from Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry. You could go on and on and on. And look, all those running backs that I just mentioned, not drafted in the first round. So I never thought for a single second, that was my first reaction. I never thought for a single second that there was going to be a first round pick that would be given up for Christian McCaffrey. Now, with that being said, Carolina did get a haul back for trading away Christian McCaffrey to give up a 2, a 3, a 4, and also a 5 in that deal in order to give up McCaffrey and get that back. That is an enormous return for the Panthers, and that's a franchise with how many quarterbacks, whether it was Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield or other moves they made, cornerbacks as well, that they gave up draft capital to get. They needed to find a way to get the cabinet filled once again when it comes to getting more draft picks, because that's a team that right now, the Panthers, other than having a very rich owner and an owner that could outspend everyone, but you're in a salary cap sport, are not attractive. So you needed more draft capital in a year that you're already giving up. You already fired the head football coach. You already traded Robbie Anderson, which was a good move. Now you traded Christian McCaffrey. I would think if you could get a good amount on a return for DJ Moore, DJ Moore would also follow. But you look around and you see what is happening here in terms of the Panthers. They're setting themselves up for their next head coach. And I'm going to call it tanking. I know it's now frowned upon to say that a team's tanking in the NFL. Players don't tank, but organizations do. And they're not putting those players in a position to win. And on the offensive side of the ball, they don't even have a JV offense. And that's actually an insult to JV teams. They have like a freshman football offense. They have a middle school offense because that offense stinks in Carolina. Whether it's going to be Sam Darnold, PJ Walker, eventually Baker Mayfield comes back. That team offensively has been a train wreck this year. So now you need to find a way when you have a lot of good young defensive players, Derek Brown, J.C. Horn, Burns, Jeremy Chinn, like you have pieces on the defensive side of the ball where if you're looking at a rebuild defensively, you're not that far away. But on the offensive side of the ball, you got nada. So you'll probably have a top five draft pick. You're definitely going to have a top five draft pick. You may have the first pick in the draft, and you probably will have the first pick in the draft. So that is a way that you could make this organization more attractive to the prospective head coaching candidates, because when you look at the prospective head coaching candidates, you're going to have potentially the first overall pick in the draft, and now you have other draft capital to deal with getting the 49ers second, third, fourth, and fifth round pick. So this becomes a situation in Carolina where, yes, it's still ugly. Yes, Scott Fitter has to hit on the draft, but they did become more attractive last night leading into today by giving up one of their resources where, let's be real, Christian McCaffrey was never going to win games in Carolina for the next 3 years. And he has 3 years left on his contract after that. And if you look at the landscape of the sport, where running back, you need running backs, but you don't need a bell cow back, you could get rid of Christian McCaffrey and you could trade him, get resources back, and eventually find your running back down the road when you are ready to win. And any new coach that comes in there for the Panthers, they get 3 years. Year one's a wash, year two you improve, and year number three, you should be able to find a way to make the postseason. That's what I always say about teams that are really gutted and teams that are starting over. For me, and it doesn't always work out this way, I like to give that coach 3 years in the NFL, and we'll see if it's a young offensive mind, if it's, I don't think it's going to be Sean Payton, could it be D'Amico Ryans, whoever that coach is, you're going to get 3 years, but you're in a better spot than you would have been in today, rather than if the team, whoever that new coach is going to be, was going to keep Christian McCaffrey. So that's the Panther side of it. Let's now get into the 49ers side of this. And on the 49ers side of this, this is a move where, yes, you gave up capital and you basically channeled your inner Les Snead and said, F those draft picks. And this has been a 49ers team that has been close for so many years. They've been to a Super Bowl. They were a Jimmy Garoppolo overthrow away from winning that Super Bowl when he couldn't connect with Emmanuel Sanders. And last year, they came out of nowhere, just got in the dance, and they found a way to get to an NFC title game with a lead in the fourth quarter, and then they lost that NFC title game to the eventual Super Bowl champions in the LA Rams. So this is a 49ers team where I think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan looked at the lay of the land. They first started off in their division, and they go, this division, especially with the way that they own the Rams, is definitely winnable. And I said it 2 weeks ago, I thought this 49ers team was going to win the division. But through the first 6 weeks of the season, and now bleeding into week 7, because the Cardinals already played last night and they got a victory. The Cardinals are 3-4. The Seahawks are 3-3. Am I in love with either of those teams? No, I'm not. So then the LA Rams are sitting in at 3-3. They don't have an offensive line right now. Matthew Stafford's throwing pick sixes left and right. And other than Cooper Kupp, they don't have much on the offensive side of the ball. So this is a 49ers team that they just need to be the most consistent team. They are the most well-rounded team in this division, and they should win the division. When you have Kittle, when you have McCaffrey, if he could stay healthy, Deebo, Ayuk, Jimmy G for this year is better for this team than Trey Lance would have been. And for next year, you're surrounding your young quarterback, assuming Trey Lance is the guy, coming off an injury with a great offense and a line and weapons, everything right at his disposal. So for the 49ers, this move to me, which I already thought and was leaning towards them winning the division 2 weeks ago, this elevates that feeling and this increases that feeling that they're going to win the NFC West. The question just becomes, how much farther can they take that? And you want to get into an honest conversation about the NFC. The NFC, other than Philadelphia, is not that great. You have a Giants team that's 5-1. I do think the Giants are going to make the playoffs, but are they winning a playoff game this year? Probably not. You got a Cowboys team that should be in the postseason. I think will be in a postseason. Can I see them winning multiple playoff games? No. You look at the North, I think the Vikings will be in. There's questions that the Packers will make it. Tampa Bay is going to be in. How much of a threat will they be? Well, they'll never be an easy out because of who their quarterback is in Tom Brady. But it's not crazy to say, and they probably will lose this weekend, the 49ers to the Chiefs, and that will put them at 3-4. But it's not crazy to say by at the end of the year, the 49ers going into the postseason, and they may not be there in seeding, but they may be viewed as a top three or maybe even as high as the second best team in the NFC. And you saw last year, there was multiple times throughout the year where they looked like they were down and out and they found a way to get the train back on the tracks. This year, there's going to be some ups and downs, but when you only need, what, 9 wins? Probably 9 wins to get in the playoffs, and you probably will. I'll give you the edge in the division. The 49ers could absolutely get to the Super Bowl this year. They were in an NFC title game last year. And right now, and I know there's a lot of injuries on defense, and that could potentially be a concern. You had 9 or 10 guys out last week on defense. But if you could get this team healthy, and if this team can stay healthy when you get into after Thanksgiving and you lead into December and January, it's not crazy to say that maybe the 49ers will be in the Super Bowl. Am I telling you they're going to go to the Super Bowl? No. I don't think right now they will be in the Super Bowl, but they will be a Super Bowl contending team to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC. So here's our poll question today. The 49ers this year will, and you're going to fill in the blank, be in the Super Bowl, win the NFC West, be a wild card team, or miss the playoffs. 9.3% say miss the playoffs. 18.6% say be in the Super Bowl. And then win the NFC West is your leader with 37.2% of the vote, and be a wild card team is sitting there at 34.9% of the vote. And if I had to cast my vote today on what I feel most confident about, it would be win the NFC West, because I do believe that roster is the most balanced and well-rounded roster in the NFC West. The Rams line stinks. Stafford's not great right now. The Seahawks, I know Geno Smith's having a good year with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and the defense finally played a good game last week, and Pete Carroll's a good coach, but am I going to be this big Geno Smith believer to say that they're not only going to make the playoffs, but then they're going to win the NFC West? Absolutely not. And I can't trust, I know they get Hopkins back, which is huge last night, but I can't trust Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury to have a consistent season, because we've seen it before. They either start off really good and then crumble down the stretch, or maybe this year they get off to a slow start and then start to move in the right direction. But was I blown away by what the Cardinals did last night against the Saints? No, especially when Andy Dalton is throwing the football around and just tossing up the ball to the other team and gifting you pick six after pick six. So my immediate reaction to this McCaffrey deal, Panthers did a good job getting enough back for Run CMC because he was never going to win there in his next 3 years. And if he gets hurt, then the value really would have gone down because he's been hurt the last 2 years. So I like this from the Panthers side. And from the 49ers side, it once again sends a message to that locker room. We're going to do everything we can. We see an opening. We're going to pounce on that opening. And I do believe at the end of the year, the 49ers will win the NFC West. And I do think when you look at this NFC that is wide open, and we're going to have to wait and see what teams like Green Bay and Minnesota and Tampa Bay and the Giants and Cowboys and the Rams do along the rest of the way. But outside of Philadelphia, who's clearly the top dog, I could see the 49ers being potentially the second best team in the NFC when it's all said and done this year. And if you give them a little life, they've showed you the last few years, they could take this thing really far, bare minimum, an NFC title game. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Give me a reaction, Panther side, 49ers side, and how good can the 49ers be this year since they now added McCaffrey to go along with Kittle, Ayuk, Debo, and you see all the weapons that the 49ers do have for the rest of this 2022-2023 NFL season. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It is the Zach Gelb Show coming on back on CBS Sports Radio. When we do return, the Panthers now on the clock. How are we looking at their next head coach? And could they maybe be getting more picks for DJ Moore? We discuss all that next.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Billie Eilish.
I feel like I spent a lot of time thinking about happiness and how it's just like it fluctuates and everyone thinks if you're one thing, you're going to be that forever and you're never going to be anything else. And it's really not true. Like happiness is temporary, but also so is like misery and things just like morph and change. It just doesn't stay. It goes up and goes down and things change. And like that's how life works.
Explore more at imlistening.org. How's your mental health? I'm listening with Billie Eilish.
I feel like I spent a lot of time thinking about happiness and how it's just like it fluctuates and everyone thinks if you're one thing, you're going to be that forever and you're never going to be anything else. And it's really not true. Like happiness is temporary, but also so is like misery and things just like morph and change. It just doesn't stay. It goes up and goes down and things change. And like that's how life works.
Explore more at imlistening.org. How's your mental health? I'm listening with Billie Eilish.
I feel like I spent a lot of time thinking about happiness and how it's just like it fluctuates and everyone thinks if you're one thing, you're going to be that forever and you're never going to be anything else. And it's really not true. Like happiness is temporary, but also so is like misery and things just like morph and change. It just doesn't stay. It goes up and goes down and things change. And like that's how life works.
Explore more at imlistening.org.
Live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The 49ers this year will be in the Super Bowl, win the NFC West, be a wild card team, or miss the playoffs. That is the question today. I say win the NFC West, but it is not going to look pretty. And you just got to get this team firing all cylinders, moving in the right direction towards the end of the year. And you have some wiggle room this year to overcome maybe some injuries, a tough part in your schedule, because let's call for how it is. This NFC West, which was on paper last year, the creme de la creme division in all of football, this year, it's not all that. Like, the Seahawks are better than we thought. The Cardinals have been sloppy. The Rams are taking a big step back. And this is a 49ers team that they're just competitive. They are a group that has a lot of talent. They add more to their room today, bringing in Christian McCaffrey. Heck, they plug in Jeff Wilson Jr. The guy always has a good game. They were going to be getting Elijah Mitchell potentially back. Like, you had some pieces there. You didn't need to make this move, but this gives them another playmaker. And I can't wait to see Kyle Shanahan, who is a good coach. I'm not calling him a great coach. You got to win a Super Bowl if you want to be a great coach. And you have to protect the lead if you want to be a great coach. But he is a very good young coach in this league and someone that gets very creative. We saw the way that he made Deebo Samuel at times a running back last year. And now you have the speed of a Christian McCaffrey, a Deebo Samuel. Ayuk is also very good. And Kittle has, you know, injury problems. Kittle hasn't been to the usual Kittle standards as he's been in years past. But if you get him healthy and him back to being Kittle, that is a feared, and I mean a feared offense, just as long as Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't mess it up. And these next few weeks, you got some tough games. And you got Kansas City this weekend. Then you go to LA and play the Rams, a team that you've dominated as Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't lost a game to them. Bye week, Chargers, Cardinals. So these next 4 weeks, I think you just got to weather the storm. And really, this NFC West this year is all about just weathering the storm. And if you weather the storm, then you eventually have to go on a little bit of a win streak and you look at the back end of their schedule once they get through this next four-game gauntlet of Kansas City, the Rams, the bye week, the Chargers, and the Cardinals, you're going up against the Saints. You're going up against the Dolphins, Tampa. Like, still good teams, but all teams that you could beat. And then down the stretch, you finish off the year with Seattle, the Commanders, a bad Raiders team. And if the Cardinals are out of it, who knows where their level of compete is going to be? I could definitely see this team that's at 3 wins right now finding a way to get to 10. And that's probably the magic number in the NFC West this year is 10 wins. You get to 10 wins and you're at 10-7, you're going to have a good shot and a good case to make to win that NFC West this year. And that means you'll then get a home playoff game. You won't get a bye because most likely Philadelphia's going to get a bye because you look at Philadelphia's schedule. It's very easy. And if you're able to just get that one home playoff game and you know this team could go on a road, like this, San Francisco could win anywhere. You have the experience. You have a good defense. You got a good run game. And you got a quarterback who is not great, but he could be a game manager. And they could beat you in so many different ways. So I think the 49ers in an NFC, an unusual, like a usual typical year, I wouldn't be saying the 49ers are dangerous. But Connor, like outside of Philly, who's the team that you love in the NFC this year?
There really isn't one. I mean, you look at Tampa Bay could eventually figure it out an offense.
And you got to think eventually Brady will get into a rhythm because I don't think Brady is in the decline that everyone's been waiting for. His line's not good right now, and you don't know which receiver's in the lineup each and every week.
Right, and going into the year, the three teams you looked at in the NFC were the Buccaneers, the Rams, and the Packers.
And all three have problems right now, big problems.
All three do. So, like, outside of the Eagles with McCaffrey now and the fact that the Niners were banged up last week, if they all get healthy, I think they're the second most dangerous team in the NFC as of right now because they're so tough defensively. They run the ball. They stop the run. They have Deebo Samuel. And outside of Jimmy Garoppolo being terrible, which you can pretty much count on him being at least an average quarterback, they're about as dangerous as it gets in that conference.
Minnesota is also a team that I look at, and I'm not ready to go all in on the Vikings. I guarantee that they would make the playoffs this year, but they are a team that's intriguing to me. Now, I don't trust their quarterback consistently in big games. And you saw that the last time he made the postseason, throws a walk-off touchdown pass in overtime, and then the next week with the game on the line, early stages of the second half, throws an interception to Richard Sherman the last time that they were in the postseason. So the consistency in big moments does concern me for Kirk Cousins, but if this defense starts to become serviceable, which they've been this year, and Za'Darius Smith has done wonders for that defense, and you have guys like Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson is on a historical start to his career. Adam Thielen still kicking it. KJ Osborne can make plays. Alexander Mattison can make plays. Maybe this is a year where one of those teams that probably shouldn't be in the Super Bowl gets to the Super Bowl. And that could be a possibility because, like, I love Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia in the NFC is they're the most well-rounded team in the NFC. Because if you want to look at it, roster comparison to them and the 49ers, I take Jalen Hurts over Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, McCaffrey's better than Miles Sanders, but Miles Sanders having a really good year. Receiver-wise, sure, Deebo's unbelievable, but they have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And defensively, that secondary is as good as it gets in Philadelphia. with Big Play Slay, Darius Slay, with Bradberry. You look at that front seven with guys like Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Big Jordan Davis. Philadelphia has the most well-rounded roster, but Jalen Hurts is, and now he could play in big games, but he's only played in one playoff game. So if that team gets picked off in divisional round weekend, would it surprise me? No. But if you get two home games, have to go to the Super Bowl, and they're in Philadelphia, that may be the advantage. That may be the edge, because I've been in that stadium. I've lived in Philadelphia. That fan base is so raucous. That building just jumps and has a hum like not too many other buildings in the NFL. So I'm like looking around. If you had to take three guesses right now to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC, who would your three guesses be?
I would take, obviously, Philly. I would take the 49ers. And then I still kind of like the Packers.
Ooh.
I think, like, they've had so many issues because they have rookie receivers that don't really know what they're doing, and Lazard and these guys that are still trying to piece it together. But I think they're going to wind up being a very good defensive team. And at some point with
Rodgers... Well, they have the talent on defense, but that defense has not been playing great.
They have looked
terrible.
Outside
of Kenny Clark, who joined us yesterday, they have not been playing great. My only concern about the Packers, and I would still think they make the playoffs, that given of just winning the division is out the window, because I fully expect Minnesota to win the division now.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I do think, like, with Kirk Cousins a quarterback, at some point they're going to run into some rough patches, and we saw them get smoked by Philly, so I think they're going to lose a couple games. And I think with the way that division lines up, I think the Packers will beat the Vikings the next time they play, and I still like Green Bay to figure it out offensively with Rodgers.
So your three teams once again are who?
The Packers, the 49ers, the Eagles.
Okay. I'm going the Eagles in no order, the 49ers, and I'm not betting against this guy. Too many people, the moment he has a few bad games, oh, his career's over, oh, his career's finished. They got a good defense in Tampa. You got to think Brady will eventually get that group going. And once again, if there's not a lot of great teams in a conference, you usually know how that works. Brady finds a way to get some momentum, move it in the right direction, especially late in the year in what could be the final games of his NFL career. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Let me take Jeff, who's first up on the show. Jeff, what do you got for me today, pal? Jeff. And Jeff, thanks so much. So before we get to ACK on the update, just real quickly, I want to just make one more point on the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers, who just traded away Christian McCaffrey, we already know they have a head coaching job open as Matt Rhule is out. The interim head coach is Steve Wilks. No disrespect to Steve Wilks. He is not going to find a way to get that job long term. That team's going to be miserable the rest of the year. You look at the jobs that could be open. AFC East, nothing's going to open at the end of this year. AFC West, Chargers could be open. Broncos could be open. AFC North, nothing's going to open after this year. AFC South, Colts could be open. Other than that, probably nothing else in the AFC. You look at the NFC. We already talked about the Panthers being open. I'm going to say that Rivera survives this year. Based off the bad coaching right now with the Commanders, he should be fired. But Snyder's such a mess. And the one like positive person that takes all of the problems of the organization and addresses them head on is Ron Rivera. I think Snyder gives him another year. Cowboys, I know they're playing good right now, but if they are quickly done in the postseason, they could be open. You look at the NFC West. Maybe the Cardinals, I still think because of the extension, Cliff Kingsbury comes on back. NFC North, none of those jobs are going to be open. NFC South, yeah, other than Carolina, none of those jobs are going to be open. So with that being said, how attractive is the Panthers' job? And you got to see how many jobs open up. They have good pieces on defense. I would think that they're going to keep most of those young pieces. But a move like today restocks the farm and gets you draft pick second, third, fourth, and then a fifth-round pick. And you could and probably will have the first-round pick. I'm not telling you that this is an unbelievable job and this is a great job, but it did become more attractive than it was yesterday for new head coaches. Because you look at the division, this is probably Brady's final year in Tampa. So then the Bucs are going to take a step back. The Falcons, it looks like they're building something. We don't know how good it's going to be with Arthur Smith. The Saints, they have a lot of talent, but the talent's never healthy. So you can find a way in the next 2 to 3 years to rebuild Carolina. And if you get the patience and you find the quarterback, yeah, maybe 3 years from now, we look at the Panthers as the team that's going to be winning that division, the NFC South. So yesterday, I would be a little bit down on the Panthers' job in terms of attractiveness. Getting those picks back for McCaffrey, knowing that you're probably going to be a top three pick, maybe the number one overall pick, it does improve and enhance the way we look at that job. It is Zach Gelb show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. When we come on back, had his first career touchdown last weekend in the Giants win over the Baltimore Ravens. Wandale Robinson will join us from Big Blue. We'll talk about the Giants and also his alma mater in the Kentucky Wildcats. Update time. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Luke Combs.
I am somebody who has struggled with anxiety a lot. A couple ways or tools, I guess you would say, to maintain my mental health is making myself aware to the things that I know I'm prone to. Information is key for things like that, and knowing what you're dealing with and how they operate. Being aware of the way your mind works in certain situations has been the most important thing for me.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives. How's your mental health? I'm listening with Billie Eilish.
I feel like I spent a lot of time thinking about happiness and how it's just like it fluctuates, and everyone thinks if you're one thing, you're going to be that forever and you're never going to be anything else. And it's really not true. Like, happiness is temporary, but also so is like misery, and things just like morph and change. It just doesn't stay. It goes up and goes down and things change. And like, that's how life works.
Explore more at imlistening.org. How's your mental health? I'm listening with Billie Eilish.
I feel like I spent a lot of time thinking about happiness and how it's just like it fluctuates, and everyone thinks if you're one thing, you're going to be that forever and you're never going to be anything else. And it's really not true. Like, happiness is temporary, but also so is like misery, and things just like morph and change. It just doesn't stay. It goes up and goes down and things change. And like, that's how life works.
Explore more at imlistening.org.
Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. The New York Football Giants are red hot. Another come from behind victory last weekend up against the Baltimore Ravens. The Giants are now 5-1, and they have a Sunday matchup 1 o'clock with the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville. And now joining us, had his first touchdown reception last week, made his return, and that's Wandale Robinson, the rookie wide receiver out of Kentucky, kind enough to join us on the Zach Gelb Show. Wandale, appreciate the time as always. Congratulations on the first touchdown. How you been?
I've been good. Thank you.
Well, take me through that first score. So you made the return coming off the knee injury, and you find a way to get into the end zone. Take me through your perspective of it.
It was third down, and we had called a little pick play, and David Sills did a really nice job of helping me out on. I was just wide open to get right there in the end zone. So,
when you're standing in that end zone with the Giants fans going nuts at MetLife Stadium, and you put in all that work your entire life to get an NFL touchdown, just what's going through your head while you're in the end zone?
I don't even remember. I just went blank. It was just crazy. Just the moment I was just waiting for my whole life. So,
what'd you do with the football? You keep the football?
No, my mom has it. It's back home in Kentucky.
Well, that's awesome. So was your mom at the game?
Yeah, my mom and dad were at the game. So
what'd that mean to you? That's got to be awesome.
I mean, they were both there whenever this journey started. So just to see it all come full circle, it was great.
We saw you back on the field last weekend, and you had success. You brought a lot of energy to the team. How's the knee feeling? Are you fully healthy now?
I'm feeling great. Just back to practicing fully and doing everything back to the way I felt like I was doing. So it's just been feeling great, and just being able to get my work.
Wandale Robinson here with us from the Giants. The thing that stood out to me the most in the game last week from you individually was the energy, like I was talking about, that you brought to the team. Well, where does that energy come from?
Part of it was just built up just being out for so long. And I just kind of feel like I'm one of those guys that just want to make plays and just give us a spark to continue going in games. So,
what type of player do you eventually think you could become?
Who knows? I just want to continue to get better every day, and at the end of the day, I want to be the best. But just got to continue to work and just help my football team win. So,
how has that transition been? How do you describe that transition going from Kentucky to the NFL and now getting a game or two under your belt in the National Football League?
It wasn't too hard or anything, but just had to come in and work, and part of that was the preparation and just the help with the coaches and some of my teammates and the leadership that I've had around me. So it was a pretty easy transition just to get going into the groove of things. So it's been nice.
You talk about the coaches. Brian Daboll has really taken the New York area by storm. They've been looking for a good competitive football team for quite some time with the state of the Giants the last few years. You being new to this, Brian Daboll being new to New York, what has impressed you the most with your head football coach?
I mean, he's just a great guy, and he takes care of his players, and we love playing for him. So it just makes it easy for us just to go out there and just do our job for him, especially knowing that he's just going to take care of us. And he's thinking about us and always wants what's best for us. So,
Wandale Robinson here with us from the Giants. Giants go up against Jacksonville this Sunday. He's coming off a touchdown performance and a victory for Big Blue. Your quarterback, Daniel Jones, this is a big year for him. Off to a good start. How do you view your quarterback, and how are you guys building that chemistry?
I mean, he's a tremendous leader, and he's a tough dude. And I mean, ever since I got here, that's one thing that I wanted to do with Daniel was just build that chemistry. And luckily, he texted me after I got drafted, and from there, we just started building and just continuing to throw each and every day and just talking about things and how he wants things done. So,
you've barely been able to play two games. Are you comfortable yet in the NFL, or is that still like a little bit of an acclimation period for you?
Well, I kind of told my guy, I was like, kind of once I got in the end zone, I kind of just felt normal again. Like, I was just back out there playing football again, and everything just kind of, I mean, just everything had already kind of started slowing down just after a couple snaps and stuff. So just getting back in the groove of things, it was just nice. So,
I saw the Giants put out on social media, and I follow you on Twitter, and I saw you retweeted this, something along the lines of people poking fun at this being the worst 5-1 football team they've ever seen. A lot of people still doubting the Giants. What do you say to people that are doubting your football team?
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we have no problem with it. We're just worried about what we have inside of our locker room and what's inside the building. And so we're just going to continue just to do what we do and just continue to go try to go 1-0 each and every week and continue to work each and every week just to get better. So,
what have you learned from Saquon Barkley?
How to be a pro. You just see how he comes into work and what he does, and especially during those games, how he goes about it. And even if there's some negative plays or things like that, he's not pouting or anything like that. So he's just been a really big guy for us and this whole organization. So,
and his biggest problem has just been staying on the field, but he's back. He looks like he could win the Comeback Player of the Year award this year if he stays healthy. That just got to bring a great energy, right, to the locker room. Just having a guy like that who's all focused on the team and makes big plays just back, it's got to make the whole locker room feel good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he's always team first, and he's going to do whatever he can to help us win, too. So,
wrap it up with Wandale Robinson from the Giants. What clicked for you at Kentucky? So you're in Nebraska for a few years, then you go back home. You go had a great year a year ago at Kentucky. What was it where it really turned your game around going to Kentucky?
I would say Liam Cohen, now the offensive coordinator at the Los Angeles Rams. But he was really the one that kind of convinced me to go back home. And I don't think I would have ended up going back home if he didn't get hired. And we just, from the moment that I got there, he just really taught me everything within the offense that we had, and that being the Rams scheme. And it prepared me to get into an NFL scheme and knowing how to study and things like that. So, and just teaching me how to play receiver, and which before then I had more carries than I did catches in college football. So it was just a different transition, and he just allowed me to learn and just make plays. So,
is it crazy to you a little bit how quickly this has come together for you with all that you just said about the change and transition that you went through?
I mean, a little bit, but at the end of the day, I know the work that I put in and the end of the day, I just want to continue to get better, and I just want to take advantage of my opportunities.
Well, if Giants fans only seen you play for a game or two and they're not real familiar with your background, what would you tell Giants fans about your game and what you could bring to the football team?
Versatile and just going to make plays, and I'm just going to be an energy guy. So,
take me back to the night you got the phone call and you got drafted by the Giants in the second round. What do you remember about that?
Actually, at the start of the draft, I actually looked down at my phone because everybody was just kind of settling in, and I was greeting people, and I looked down at my phone, and I had no service. and so where the party was, and so figuring out how I can get service in, like, the span of, like, 3 minutes. And so figured it out, and then eventually within, like, probably 20 minutes, I ended up getting a call, and the Vikings were actually on the clock, so I'm thinking I'm going to Minnesota. And then I look down, and it's a New Jersey number, and I'm kind of like, New Jersey? What's in New Jersey? And then it was Joe, and he was on the phone. He just said, hey, Wondell, and that's that was really about all I remember, but they have the audio from it. But I just remember I was crying and stuff with my mom and my dad, and it was just the moment that we had been waiting for my whole life. So,
how long did it take to sink in that you got drafted in the second round by the Giants? Was it right away?
No, it took a really long time. Like, there's even still some days I walk in to work and I'm like, I'm really playing football for the Giants. Like, it's kind of crazy. I'm like, this is a game that I've been playing since I was five, and now I'm really here where I dreamed of being. So,
well, it's great to see you back on the field healthy. It's good to see you again in the end zone last week. This team is 5-1. Expectations are changing. Just how good of a football team do you think you have there? You've been in that locker room day in and day out.
I mean, I think we can be as good as we want to be. I mean, at the end of the day, we just have to prepare and do what we have to do within the early in the week. And then on Sundays, just do what we have to do. And the outcome will be the outcome. So,
I want to just take you back to your college days real quickly. Wrap it up with Wandale Robinson from the Giants. Mark Stoops has done a sensational job with that Kentucky program. What is it about Coach Stoops? Because that entire feel about the way that we view Kentucky nationally is now totally different.
I mean, he's very similar to Coach Dave. Just taking care of his players and just always putting his players first. And you just want to play for a guy like that. And so, and then having a really great support staff around him with the coaches and always having a good game plan. So he's always done a really good job with that and just making sure the team's ready to play.
A name that's been skyrocketing is your former quarterback, Will Levis. Whenever he gets drafted this year, what does an NFL team get in Will Levis, the quarterback?
He's a smart, tough dude. He can make all the throws. And I'm sure on pro day and stuff, everybody's going to go crazy. But, he's just a really good dude as well, too. I mean, he's a great leader. He came into the locker room and then 2 months and became a captain. He's a really good dude and just somebody that you would love to have as your quarterback as well.
As you guys get set for Jacksonville, what's been the biggest point of emphasis this week in the preparation for this Jaguars defense?
We have to be physical. It all starts up front. And at the end of the day, we have to make plays on the outside. And everybody has to do their role and play their part. So,
last one before we let Wandale Robinson run. Mike Kafka, tell me about your offensive coordinator, because his name's starting to get linked to some head coaching jobs, and maybe people think he could be a head coach in this league one day.
He's a great offensive mind, and he's really creative, and just being able to get us in a lot of different spots and do a lot of different things and just do a lot of different things within the offense. So,
well, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Congrats on the touchdown last week, and good luck this upcoming weekend.
Yep, I appreciate it.
There you go, Wandale Robinson from the Giants with us on the Zach Gelb Show. You look at this Giants team, they're 5-1. And I know early in the week some people go, oh, you're saying they're going to make the playoffs? Like, hold on, they're 5-1. The roster's not great. Let's just wait and see. It's really how the schedule breaks out. Jacksonville, which they could lose this weekend. Seattle, they could lose. But then after the bye, you have the Texans and the Lions. Like, they should be 2-2, if not 3-1. In their next four games. So if you just get to 2-2, you're at 7 wins. The target goal this year is 9 to get in the postseason in the NFC. You're telling me even if they go 2-2 in these next four against Jacksonville, Seattle, Houston, and Detroit, and they get to a record of 7-3, that they can't find two more wins when you play the Commanders twice. Yeah, you get Philadelphia twice, but you get Philadelphia at the end of the year, last game of the season. That's the second one. You play Minnesota, who's a good team. You play Indianapolis, who's nothing all that special. And you get Dallas another time. Like, if the Giants don't get to 9 wins at this point, and if you get to 9-8 and someone else beats you out of tiebreaker, there's nothing you could do. But I would say if you're a Giant fan, bare minimum expectation is you get to 9 wins and you make the playoffs. And that's just being probably their ceiling this year. Like, they're a wild card team, and that's the best you could expect, and it's way ahead of the curve for this team. Quinton Williams next.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Luke Combs.
I am somebody who has struggled with anxiety a lot. A couple ways or tools, I guess you would say, to maintain my mental health is making myself aware to the things that I know I'm prone to. Information is key for things like that, and knowing what you're dealing with and how they operate. Being aware of the way your mind works in certain situations has been the most important thing for me.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.